Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday, April 30th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Harris, and I'm going to be joined by my guy, Kenny, as we take on a three-game slate on this Tuesday. A bunch of teams that are trailing 3-1, probably looking down the barrel of a potential elimination over here, and the Orlando Magic taking on the Cavaliers, the most NBA TV of NBA TV series, but has actually been a pretty fun matchup to be able to watch. But as Kenny was just mentioning to me off air, one of the lower game total spreads that we'll end up seeing for probably the playoffs and probably for the next little bit. So we'll have to see what that looks like. But jumping into it all together, Kenny, obviously we're just doing this on the evening now of, I guess you could say early Tuesday morning over here, just having seen Jamal Murray, Jokic, and the Nuggets go ahead and finish off the Lakers and send them home. But what are you thinking about these 3-1s, and how was your night otherwise?
Man, when it came to the props, man, almost perfect night. Was able to hit all my major props except Jokic assists, missed that one by one. Was able to have some Laker fans in my life, send them a couple text messages, let them know that my team playing on Wednesday, your team ain't making it till May, some of my shenanigans that I like doing for the past few years. You should be a little one-sided now. I'm able to have my Twitter fingers typing a little faster. But outside of that, man, I'm ready for tomorrow, man. We got NBA playoffs. We got two somewhat do or die matches. We got one NBA TV marquee matchup. We got EuroLeague, man. It's a good time, man. WNBA coming soon too. Man, I'm happy.
Yeah, I love it. No, it's definitely been it's been a fun sequence of games, a fun bunch of series, and from a competitiveness as well. I mean, we've really been seeing that, and even on the spreads here, despite the fact that, for example, the Bucks are going to be missing likely two of their major guys going into this game, the Pacers are still only favored to win by 4, and that's actually kind of across the board over here. The Knicks, the Cavs, the Pacers, all of them are about 4.5 as far as their favorites are concerned. So hopefully that means that we're looking at some pretty big minutes totals for the guys that we're going to be looking at over here with those tight rotations. But jumping right into it, as always, I mean, Sports Ethos is your place to go to be able to keep on top of all of that. Clearly, injuries and concerns about availability is something you want to be absolutely on top of. And that Sports Ethos live injury report is where you want to be able to get that access alongside all of the other DFS content that we do on the daily, including not obviously this podcast over here, but the DFS deliveries, our daily pick'ems, and of course getting yourself onto that Discord so you can get access to all of our amazing DFS pros all the way up until lineup lock to see just what is going to make the difference for you in what is likely to be a low margin for error kind of slate. But jump in right into it over here, and we'll keep it to positions, and I'm going to start looking at the point guard side over here, and I'm going to start at the top with that Philly and New York game, the first game of the night, so get to have some exposure nice and early. As you said, looking at a 202 game total over here, the Knicks favored to win by 4, so Vegas obviously thinks they're going to go ahead and close that series at home. I don't even know if I can call game 4 a away game for them. All the Knicks fans that took over the Philadelphia Arena over there, kind of embarrassing as far as they're concerned. But what we have seen has been a pretty huge jump for Jalen Brunson, who over the last couple of games now has really taken kind of that step up, not only efficiency-wise, but obviously overall performance, putting up two just incredible performances in Philly, 39 and 47 actual points en route to 62 and 71. So it's clearly a situation where he's gone ahead and figured out the defense that Philly was throwing at him. They were trying to put a little bit more size on him, but he clearly showed that he was able to put on the jets and get his floater game going as well. And he's been incredibly efficient on that over the last two. So while his price tag has taken a little bit of a bump from where it was earlier on the series, that upside kind of remains pretty sky high with the way his usage is going. And clearly he's looking at a situation where he's getting anywhere from 27 to 30 shots a game, which is pretty nuts given everything else that he's able to do across the board, including averaging about 9 assists a game in this series as well. So for a guy who's sub 10,000, but giving you that upside to be able to get into the 60s and 70s as he has over the last two games, I'm sure he's going to be looking to do exactly that at home in a closeout game to make sure that Philly doesn't have any life left in them as far as that's concerned. And you know, despite the fact that he's got a little bit of a right knee, hampered contusion, whatever they want to call it, coming into it, there's no problems about his availability there, and I expect that he's going to be going all out as far as his minutes are concerned. So looking at him as one of my kind of spend ups. But on the other hand, from a cheapy perspective, because I think there are going to be some pretty solid options, especially in the front court, to be able to also look at potential spend ups over there, it might be a little bit more of a cash play just given how we're seeing his efficiency over the last couple of games. But Kyle Lowry, to me, continues to be in that price tag range where I do find that there's enough upside to warrant kind of taking him for a guy who can get into the 30s, is going to be playing 33 to 34 minutes on there. And you're just really hoping that he can get a little bit more of his offense going as he did in game one of this playoffs, while rather than the last couple of games where he's kind of shot less and also been less effective at actually getting those conversions going. So a lot of that is obviously going to come from his ability to shoot from outside, coming off of two kind of down games as far as his three-point shooting is concerned, only hitting two out of his last seven shots over there. So hope that we can get a little bit more of a replication on his MSG type of performances that he has done on a regular basis. And even in his first two games here, did better than he did at home. So I expect that we're going to see a little bit more of that that Kyle Lowry coming into this do or die game for them. And then finally, also looking at value over here, I'm going to jump quickly over to that Indiana and Milwaukee game. Now, we know that Damian Lillard is listed as doubtful for this game with his aggravated Achilles. Looks like it'll be pretty surprising for us to actually see him on the floor. But again, want to keep an eye out on that injury there. But what we have been seeing is them then throwing out a bunch of, I guess you can say new faces on there. But A.J. Green is the one from a point guard perspective who got a little bit more run in that perspective, kind of going into the second half of that last Indiana game over there. So I expect that between him and Jackson, who Jackson Jr., that is, who were able to get kind of a combination of mid-20 minutes over there. We saw Aaron Jackson have a little bit more of a productive night, and putting up 32 DK points on there. So he might be getting a little bit more of that DFS love on there. But I do think AJ Green also sitting in a position to be able to play kind of mid to kind of low to mid 20 minutes over there should be in a position to also be able to get 20 plus. So not a bad option if you're looking to kind of round out your salary and spend up elsewhere.
All right. Definitely some solid picks. Definitely should get a little time for the Milwaukee guards since the starting possible three players at that position have a questionable tag by their name. But going for the spend up, man, I'm going risky, man. I'm going GPP, straight for GPP with this play. Lowest game on the total. I'm going with D. Mitchell at A1. Performance hasn't really been the best in the playoffs. Kind of seemed like, he wanted to go a little bit away from Cleveland. But when he was in Cleveland, he was able to give you 40 fantasy points in both of those games. So I think going back home, he should be able to turn back that shooting percentage, should be able to shoot at least over, 25% for three that he was doing in Orlando, get that back up to maybe about 35, 40%, and should be able to seal a win for the Cavaliers by acquiring, 60% of their, 160 point total matchup that they're going to be in. But if you want to zag a little bit and you still want to go GPP, I feel like LeVert will be the other reason why Cleveland will be able to pull this win off. During the series, he hasn't really been the most productive player, but he has been outproducing Matt Strus. So I do think his minutes should be in the 30s, low to mid 30s in this matchup. And he should be able to get you probably about 7 to 8 rebounds plus assists, should be able to add about 10 to 12 points as well. And if his three ball is going, he might be able to knock down one or two for you, but you're really just aiming for, you know, 4 assists, 5 assists and 2 or 3 rebounds for him and a couple stops. Going to the low tier, I like how you was talking about the Milwaukee side, but I feel like you can save some more money, especially if you're playing GPP, for somebody on the Indiana side who's been getting some pretty consistent minutes. And that's the young one, Ben Shepherd. Entirely scoring dependent, and he hasn't really been the highest usage player, but he's been pretty consistent at knocking down his open three-pointers. Typically get 2 or 3 from each game. I want to say last game, he probably got you about 15 minutes. Had 20 minutes in the game before. Really feel like you could get him at lower than 3% ownership on a 3-game slate. And in GPPs, if you're able to get 15 fantasy points from him because he's able to knock down 3 of his 3s and possibly give you a rebound in the stock, I'm really not going to be afraid to play that at 3-2.
Yeah, fair enough. I think it's especially given the fact that we're looking at Tyrese Halliburton kind of being in that. I mean, he's obviously going to play, but dealing with a little bit of his back problem that he has been dealing with over the last couple of games. I mean, they'd love for this to become a blowout relatively early and then for him to be able to rest up. So that could very well be more of an opportunity for some of these other guards to be able to just get on there and wrap up the rest of the series. Jumping into the shooting guards over there, I do like that Donovan Mitchell call that on your side. As you mentioned, definitely been a lot more productive at home, and also the fact that his price tag has taken a little bit of a dive given how he did really not have two good games in Orlando over here. So we'll be hoping to look ahead and turn that around there. So I'm absolutely on board with him as a potential option over there. On the other hand, though, I do think that there's some pretty good value here in that kind of low mid tier and just value tier overall as far as the shooting guards are concerned. And I'm going to start with the mid over here with Kelly Oubre at 5,300. Now, what we've continued to see as the series has gotten and progressed is the rotations have gotten tighter. I mean, Nick Nurse is known for kind of trusting his guys, almost in a bit of a Tom Thibodeau-style thing where he goes with the guys that he likes, and that's coming at the expense of all these other ones that I thought would play more, De'Anthony Melton and whatnot, but clearly not getting the opportunities that they'll have. Kelly Oubre, on the other hand, has played 38 and 40 minutes in the last two games that he has gotten himself out there. So for his price tag at 5,300, for a guy who's going to be playing the kind of minutes that he does and is likely going to continue to get that that offensive role, which, you know, Tobias Harris has been completely and utterly just invisible for the series over there. He's been pretty much relegated to the corner and not even getting you know, half the shots that he would be getting kind of throughout the regular season over here. So not a great kind of position for him and not a great series in general for him as well. And Kelly Oubre is one of the kind of bigger reasons why, with them trusting him more on the perimeter. So I don't know if that's necessarily going to bear fruit as far as Philadelphia's series chances are concerned, but Kelly Oubre should find himself in a good opportunity to be able to easily outperform that salary again, giving you that 30 plus point upside. So absolutely in play for GPP as well as cash if you want to go ahead and take him there as well. Moving into that kind of value tier of 4,000s that I'm kind of taking a look at over here, and I'm going to start at the 4,700 mark with one of the Indiana Pacers guards, which is Andrew Nembhard, who, again, we've consistently seen his role rise as the series has continued on, and his performance has come alongside that as well. Now, one of the things that we would see kind of throughout the regular season as far as Nembhard was concerned is that he'd have games where he would, you know, put up somewhere close to 18 to 20 actual points because he was able to get a shot going, and his shot, especially from the perimeter, getting hot over there. But then he'd have kind of extended periods of passivity and then just find himself almost playing cardio for 30 minutes out there. So his minutes and his role has been pretty secure, just given the fact that he's a pretty switchable guy and able to jump on a bunch of different point guard matchups. But what we are seeing is that he's getting a little bit more involved as far as the offense is concerned. We got all the way up to 9 assists in the last game, which is definitely a positive as far as his upside is concerned. But also, he's had 3 straight games in double digits now. So again, he's kind of in that same kind of area as a Kelly Oubre, in that he's playing the kind of minutes that he'd need to be able to go ahead and do that, even if he's not necessarily a great point per minute producer. He does have that upside to be able to get 30 plus, as he's done in 2 out of the last 3 games. And I expect that he'll get to continue that into this as well, especially if Indiana is able to go ahead and get themselves kind of out into a better lead, depending on how things are looking as far as the rest of the Bucks are concerned. But speaking of the Bucks, and where I do think that we're going to be seeing a little bit more offense, is Malik Beasley at his 4,600 price tag over there. Clearly, you know, last game, everything else kind of go out there. He played 34 minutes in that one, ended up with 12 shot attempts, including 7 from downtown. Scoring dependent, obviously, in terms of how his upside is concerned. So there is a little bit of risk involved with that, because he's not likely going to get you too many supporting stats there. But if he can get himself hot, especially from downtown, he can put up points in a hurry, which we have seen in a couple of games throughout the regular season. And given the fact that this offense is going to be pretty much led by just Middleton and Bobby Portis as things stand, he's likely going to find himself in a scenario where he can be third or fourth option, maybe end up with 12 to 14 field goal attempts as well. So again, that GPP upside is definitely there for him to get into kind of the 30 plus mark, but you're hoping that he can get hot from downtown.
Definitely solid pick. Do feel like Beasley might be a little chalky though. I feel like a lot of people will be going that route. So I'm not sure if that's going to be just a cash game player in that. But, you know, if you think people are going to be off of it, I might actually think of it as a little GPP play. But I'm actually going to go cheap with this one, man. I'm going to go with Nesmith at 5-2 as my spend up. Again, this is more of a cash game play. Should be pretty chalky, but he's been getting minutes. I want to say throughout the series, he's been getting about 32 minutes. And opportunities was hit or miss for him. Sometimes he paid off a little bit more than that. But you're really just hoping for consistent points in this spot. So you're just trying to be like, hey, I got 5-2. Can I lock down 25, 30 points from a player? I'm just going to add him in. Going a little bit cheaper. I did like the Beasley pick, but I'm not going to play off of you. I'm going to go GPP route. And I think if you're playing a GPP, you think Orlando is going to be at a deficit. You think Cleveland going to have this game, this low scoring game. Gary Harris should be able to connect on 9 to 12 points for Orlando in this spot if they're down. He should be able to get an increase and an uptick in 3 points attempts. First 2 games on the road, I want to say he averaged about 5 3-pointer attempts. At home, he was only averaging about 2.5. And at 3.7, you should be able to get him at less than 10%, possibly less than 5%. And he should be able to connect for about upside of 18 to 22 fantasy points if he gets the green light. And for true GPPs only, true, you're just flipping a coin, seeing if he gets minutes or not. Philly are in a bad spot. They need scoring, and they can't continue to have 80% of their points come from 2 players. And somebody who was considered one of the hottest players on the trade market for years was Buddy Hield due to his scoring ability. And in the first 2 games, he was getting a little bit of playing time, but the last game, I think he was reduced to 4 minutes and not even a single shot attempt. But if you really want to get different, have less than 2% ownership of a player who could get you an upside of possibly 28, 32 points or a floor of 0 points, Buddy Hield would probably be one of the riskier picks you can go with that can help you take down a GPP.
Yeah, fair enough. I think with Buddy Hield, what we're finding is much of what we got to see for years in Toronto, where if he doesn't love you as a defender, he's just not going to play you, depending on how everything else is going, which is why I'm personally surprised that Melton isn't getting more minutes. But maybe we'll see some of that kind of change around. I know he was dealing with his back issues as well, and was able to get a couple of minutes in the last game, so maybe he gets a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know if Buddy Hield is going to get too many minutes, but hey, they might have to kind of break the glass and try anything at this point, given that not many choices and not many options left for how Philly has played so far, which has been pretty disappointing. As far as the small forwards are concerned over here, and here's where I start to kind of look at a little bit more of the that mid-tier and more of the guys that I actually don't mind spending up a little bit more on. And I actually think he might not get the kind of ownership that that some of these other options might get. And that's going to be starting with that Orlando game here. And I'm on Franz Wagner again for 7,100. I've been taking him pretty consistently throughout this entire series so far. And really, I was hoping that we would get to see a little bit more aggressiveness and a little bit more efficiency coming through over the last couple of games, because I've consistently said that Wagner has all the capability to be one of the more well-rounded offensive players in the NBA, but he himself just decides to either just take a chill pill in the second half on a regular basis, or just find himself deferring to his teammates a lot more. And that's clearly not what Orlando.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
And it was needed in the last two games where they have just absolutely turned the tables on what Cleveland's given them so far. But they're going to have to find a way to continue that on this game five over here. And as you mentioned, low scoring might even go under on that. But regardless, I think that's going to have to come from Franz Wagner, because they're clearly putting a lot of emphasis on blitzing Paolo Banchero as much as they possibly can, which is trying to limit him from being able to get his game going. And as a result of that, if they're going to want to have a little bit more kind of space opened up for him, Franz Wagner is going to have to continue to be his aggressive self as he has been the last two games. So I think people are kind of have been kind of relatively worried about him in general, and have continued to have slightly less ownership as far as he's concerned. And given the fact that he has situations where he doesn't always kind of hit his price tag, I think that's the kind of risk you want to be able to go ahead and take here. So I think he's worth taking for that 7,100 to give you that 40 plus upside over there. And I'm definitely going to be on him pretty consistently as far as that's concerned. The other small forward that I definitely have a consistent belief in is OG Anunoby. At anytime he's kind of sub 6,000, I like taking him. I expected that, as we saw in the last two games, he would start to get a little bit more involved on the offensive end. Obviously, he's going to be one of the key defenders for New York kind of throughout this, and he is also a little bit of dependent on his outside shot going. That can sometimes lead into everything else, but he obviously threw a little wrinkle in that in the last game where he ended up with 14 rebounds. Now, that's not necessarily going to be something that we'll see on a regular basis, but if the pace of the series continues to slow down to the level that it has over the last couple of games from a pure offensive efficiency standpoint, we could see him putting up an outsized rebounding total there as well. But I'm expecting that he should be able to get to that 16 to 17 points as he has in the last two games over there, getting back to kind of usual as far as his offensive output is concerned. And then at that point, you really just need a sprinkling of those stats that he can provide across the board to be able to get into that 30 plus DK points area pretty consistently. So at 5,600, there's moderate upside over there. And if he can have, as I said, that outsized rebounding contribution, could be very well worth taking at his current price tag.
Pretty solid picks. Definitely like the OG pick, especially since he became one of the best rebounders overnight. Man, never saw a little 16 rebound game from OG coming. But, speaking of an X-Raptor, I'm actually going to spend up for an X-Raptor as well, and that's going to be Pascal. In my cash games, I really don't see where you could go wrong with this pick. I know his performance haven't been as dominating as it was in the first two games. in the past too, but he's still putting up at least 40 fantasy points. So his floor is safe. Upside is still there as well. You just need to hope he can actually connect on some of his free throw attempts and knock down a three-pointer or two, which is always going to be nice. Now for GPPs, my mid-tier pick, a little 5-5, safe floor when it comes to minutes, but production just been questionable, honestly, since Embiid was injured, and that's Tobias Harris. I really don't know what his market is looking like as a free agent right now, especially if the playoff ended the way it did, where he's, what, averaging 1.5 assists in the series, 6.5 rebounds, and shooting below 40%. But if there's any ounce of upside still in him, you can get him at a low ownership at about 5% on the three-game slate. And he could just, you know, break glass in the case of an emergency and actually find that shot again and possibly give you close to a double-double. Now for my cheapy pick, I was looking at a few routes, but I guess I would just go with the safest cash gameplay. You could play at this 4K range, and that's Pat Connaughton. Milwaukee is depleted. They're trying to face off elimination at home, and I do feel like they will play a few more veterans on the floor. So he's been getting about 20 minutes. They might run him in the higher 20s, low 30s this game, especially if you get news of both Beverly and Lillard being out. And his floor should be pretty safe, should be able to get you at least 15 fantasy points being in this spot, and his upside probably going to be around 30 points. And that's kind of how I'm attacking this small forward position in both cash and GPPs.
Yeah, I like it. Definitely a bunch of picks that I had my eye on as well. Siakam, I was going to mention at the power forward slot over there, but as you said, very much a lock as far as his cash production is concerned. But if he can get back to some more of those dominant ways as he had in the first two games over there, that could always give you that upside that's there. And I do love him anytime he's kind of in that mid-8,000s range over there. But with some of the other guys that people are probably going to be pretty heavily into, including that's both Bobby Portis and Josh Hart. I'll just point out the fact that as long as Bobby Portis doesn't find himself getting ejected doing something stupid, he should find a position of being able to play somewhere in the high 30s to low 40 minutes over there and give you that production in that kind of 40 DK points mark, which is what he did in that game three. So, you know, it's one of those things where they're obviously going to need as much as possible from him to try and keep things going and to provide a little bit of support to Chris Middleton, who's going to be kind of a one-man band as far as kind of leading the offense, assuming we are kind of finalizing with the details that we have there. So probably get some pretty decent ownership. So, you know, maybe not as sexy an upside pick to be able to throw out there, but definitely worth thinking about. That being said, in that same game, I actually do think that what we've seen in the last two games, that Gallinari is finally getting some regular play. And honestly, I was expecting that to come a little bit earlier because, you know, he's obviously not done much as far as the regular season is concerned, but it's really not been, you know, injury or anything else. It's just how the rotations kind of worked out. He found himself getting somewhere close to 20 minutes over the last two games over there and has actually shot it pretty decently in that time. Expect that, you know, Gallo's going to have to kind of show that capability, especially when he can get to the free throw line pretty regularly, because of kind of the remainder of the roster that Milwaukee's kind of putting out there, you're going to want guys who have that capability to be able to drive to the basket. And at this point, they seem very kind of perimeter oriented with, you know, both Chris Middleton being kind of your de facto point guard, I suppose, at this point in terms of how it'll go. Malik Beasley, Pat Connaughton, all these guys very much operating on the perimeter. And Brooke Lopez at this point pretty much only likes to shoot threes, or if he's able to get a putback or anything on that aspect, then we go ahead and get a little bit more of that, which we did get to see in the last game. So I do think Gallinari is going to be an interesting wrinkle that they will try and throw out there. I expect that he'll actually get somewhere close to 20 to 23 minutes in this game over here, which gives him more than enough opportunity to be able to pretty handily beat that 3,200 salary. So someone that I may find myself getting a pretty decent amount of exposure to, just given how the rest of my lineup is potentially working out. And on the other hand, if I do think that Indiana is going to be running away with this, I actually think that we're going to get a little bit more of the Obi Toppin run that we've been seeing over the last couple of games as well. Again, he's coming out and playing about 17 to 20 minutes over there, but he's able to pretty much get a shot off every 2 minutes. And so if he can get kind of some of that offense going, as he's gotten the last two games, averaging 14 points in that time, he just really needs a sprinkling of a couple of boards on the other side to be able to pretty handily beat that, that 4,000 mark as well, and likely finds himself in more playing time if this does get into a scenario where Indiana has run away with the game. So, you know, a little bit of game scripting. Got to think about how Milwaukee's going to be able to kind of fight it out at home with the remainder of their roster over there to try and defend off elimination. But regardless, I think both Obi Toppin and Gallinari, as mentioned earlier, are going to be interesting kind of upside picks to be able to go ahead and throw out there to combine with some of the expensive ones we've talked about so far.
Oh, man. Definitely got to agree with you on the Bobby Portis pick. Really do feel like that's going to be a cash game staple. And the Portis, Siakam, stacks and cash games are probably going to be at a 50% clip. So to go a little bit different for GPPs, I really do feel like Banchero will be a great GPP option, especially if you feel like the Magic are going to win this game. It is a low point total. He had a horrible performance in Orlando. Want to say he didn't even hit 35 fantasy points in that game. So I do believe a lot of people will be off him, especially since he's coming in at an 8-2 price tag. But his usage is still going to be high. He does have the ability to get you rebounds and assists at a pretty good rate when he's on the floor. And he could give you a sock or two. If his shot is falling, that's just going to be something you could take advantage of, especially if you're able to get him at less than 20 or 15% on a three-game slate. For my mid-tier play, I'm also going to go GPP again, and I'm going to go with Evan Mobley in the same game. I'm not going to play both players in the lineup, but I do feel like Mobley should be the lesser owned out of the Cleveland bigs between him and Allen. And if I could get him at a lesser ownership and potentially get a double-double spot out of him along with two or three stocks, I feel like that's something that can help me win a GPP. You just really just need to get 40 fantasy points out of that 6-7 price tag to really have an edge in the GPP, especially on a small slate. But if he can give you upside of a 50-55-point game, I really don't see that happening, but the upside is there. You should be able to differentiate yourself quite a bit, especially on a three-game slate for a player who might not even hit the 20% or 15% mark. And for my cheapy play, I'm surprised you didn't mention him, but since Bogdanović is out, Thibs is very limited on who he's going to put on the floor and who he trusts. But Achiuwa, your former Raptor, actually had a nice little showing for 20 minutes on the floor on Sunday. He is troubled to get in foul trouble. That always a possibility, especially if they have him out on the beat. But if he's able to get you at least two stocks, and with a rebound rate that he has, he should be able to get you, 20 minutes. You should be able to get at least 6 rebounds out of him with an upside of maybe 9 or 10. So a potential double-double. He can't finish too well, especially with a B down low, but he should be able to get you more than just a point like he did in the previous matchup. So you're looking at a 6-7 and probably 2 line for less than 4K, I feel like you can deal with that in a cash game. GPP-wise, I probably will look elsewhere. But in cash, if I want to save, Achiuwa is definitely the play that I'm going to be looking at on tomorrow's slate.
Yeah, no, I like it. I was kind of chuckling to myself because I kind of had him as an offhanded remark on my center side of things, but Achiuwa just sucks so much in real life, and I feel like I'm just jaded having watched him just flub layup after layup, and he did in the last game as well. Embiid wasn't around where he missed three or four of those point-blank layups, and actually like padded a couple of those rebounds on there, just being able to grab his own coming back. So I agree with you. If he plays 20 minutes, he has an upside to be able to go ahead and get that kind of point per minute out there. But I just don't know if they are going to end up actually playing him, I mean, it's just one of those things where his offense is just such a black hole on whether he can get it going one night and look like he's Steph Curry from outside, and then on the other hand, looks like he shouldn't even be in the G League. So it's just an interesting dilemma with Precious Achiuwa. So we'll see what that ends up looking like over here. Moving into the last area as far as centers are concerned, and this is where kind of you the big guns come out as far as potential spend ups over here. First of all, with Joel Embiid right off the top over here. Now, regardless of this being a bit of a let's say down series or just overall just hasn't looked like himself outside of that game three where he's dominant, but his knee's obviously not in the place that you want it to be. The stuff about his Bell's palsy and all of that has now become a bit of a thing as well, but obviously not affecting him from a purely ability to play perspective. But the fact remains that at a guy who's sitting at sub 11,000 at this point and can consistently, even on a bad night or down night, get you 60 plus as far as DK points are concerned, you just have to have him in your contention for lineups over here. So if I am thinking about, say, like Jalen Brunson that I said at the beginning over there for the 9,500, with the amount of potential kind of value options that we've spoken about between the shooting guards, small forwards, and power forwards, I think I'll have enough to be able to put out who I think is going to be the pure highest DK point score on the night over here. So we'll have to see what that ends up looking like. But I do think Joel Embiid at 10-9 is going to have a pretty decent amount of exposure for myself at this point. I mean, he's playing for his entire career in terms of not being complete and utter failure as far as playoffs are concerned. It's just gotten to a point where there's very little excuse left to be made for what he's been doing. So if he can't find a way to extend the series at the very least over here, he's probably looking to answer some pretty tough questions heading into the off season here. So 10-9, I'm willing to go ahead and put it out there that Embiid is going to end up putting out a performance that, even if it doesn't lead to a W, is at least going to have a little bit more kind of possibility to get somewhere into the 70s, hopefully, as far as DK points are concerned. On the other hand, going back to that Indiana and Milwaukee series, I almost feel like it's gone a bit kind of underappreciated just how good Miles Turner has been throughout this entire series so far. I mean, he's sneakily been averaging over 24, 25 points in the four games that he's played, but he's also just been shooting the absolute lights out of it from downtown. And it's kind of like everyone's obviously focused on what Halliburton's doing and Siakam as well has been doing well, but Miles Turner, who's sitting, who I always love as an upside pick in that 6,000 range, even at 7,200, I think they just found that Milwaukee has absolutely no answers for his capability of being able to stretch the floor and also be the defensive presence that he has been. So just given how certain lineups are working out, and if I want to go with that two centers, I'll probably have to drop one of Turner or Embiid into my utility slot there, but I could very well find myself doing that. It's just he hasn't given me any reason to not to continue to take him. I've pretty much had, I want to say, 50 to 55% of my lineups having him there whenever Indiana's playing, and it's worked out well so far, and I don't see a reason to get away from that. On the other hand, if you're probably looking at someone who may have also a little bit lesser ownership over here, Jared Allen, who's coming off two, I'll say, relative stinkers in terms of his price tag to what he is kind of been doing, obviously had two much better games at home earlier on in the series rather than what we saw kind of in the Orlando away games up until now. So if we're talking about guys who are hoping to make that impact again, again, it's going to be a lower scoring game, I expect, rather than some of the big scoring nights that Orlando had done so far. I don't know if they're going to be sitting in the 80s as they were in the first two games in Cleveland over here, but I expect that Jared Allen is going to have to find a way to be that presence that he was in those first two games, putting up 18 and 20 rebounds at that time as well, alongside basically being better across the board as far as his blocks, his steals, and even assists are concerned. It's just a lot to like with his upside. And again, for a guy in 7,000 range to be able to have the upside to get into the mid to high 40s without really having to totally break apart what his season averages are, really just getting to what we would expect to see from a guy in the playoffs, I really do like his price tag and his opportunity to be able to go ahead and destroy that over here.
Man, left me without a center to pick. All right, let's switch it up. I was actually going to pivot away from Embiid and actually go with Allen. But, I can switch it up. For my spend up, I'm actually going to go with Lopez. I do feel like the ownership will be low on him, especially with Turner, Allen, and Embiid all on the same slate. So you should be able to get him at 15%, especially since people going to be more on Portis than Lopez as well. But his abilities to hit three-pointers is something that wasn't utilized too much in this series just yet. I forgot if it was game one or game two. He was able to connect on like 7 for 7. Had a great game shooting the threes, but he didn't give you any stocks in that game, if I remember correctly. And I think he barely finished with 30 fantasy points, even though he had like 25 actual points. But at 6'2", you really could have a – I don't think you're going to get a double-double out of him. The rebounds are not going to be there, especially if Portis is on the floor. But his shooting is going to be there, and I do think his field goal attempts will go up. So even though Portis was out, and that was one of the main reasons he put up 20 attempts, a lot of the offense is actually out on the team as well. So even if Portis was on the floor, he still probably would have been able to put up 15-plus attempts in that game. And if his shot is going, I do feel like they're going to feed on him a little bit earlier, a little bit more. So he has the potential to get you 30 actual points in this spot, especially since this is the highest point total on the slate. I'm going with a mid-tier pick, something that I probably will only be doing in GPPs. That's going to be Wendell Carter Jr. Again, the total in this game is scary, but we was actually able to see consistent minutes from Carter on, game two to game four. Outside of the first game, I think he was able to get you at least 20 minutes. And in this matchup, he probably have the best offensive ability from a center that Orlando can put out, unless you want to try to talk me into Mo Wagner. But I don't think Mo Wagner minutes will really equal a win on the road for Orlando. Going for my cheapy play, there's really not too many routes you could go, but if you really want to get different in the GPP, get yourself like, I don't know, maybe 3% ownership, maybe even less. You could take a gamble on Jalen Smith, who we really haven't seen at all. If you remember the first game, he actually almost got you 10 rebounds in 10 minutes. When he was on the floor. I don't know if they're going to play him again. I don't know why he's not on the floor, probably due to his lack of offensive ability. But if he's able to get some minutes and you need to spend 3-1 on a flyer, Jalen Smith is a risk you could take that can actually, in this Orlando matchup, he could honestly get you a double-double in this spot in like 15 minutes if everything goes right.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I don't mind us being on the same page as far as main centers are concerned. I thought you were going to talk about like Hartenstein and Jonathan Isaac. So I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'll leave you with something to talk about on that end over there. But I guess since it's not, I do want to kind of throw out there, I do think Isaac is a potential pick over here as well, given his potential minute scenario. But again, as you said, there's just not all that many different routes to be able to go. So it's really going to come down to a combination of kind of who gets the ownership coming into this matchup, and also just who can have that that unexpected breakout game to be able to go ahead and really take down one of these GPPs. So, you know, you may want to go ahead and change around some of that exposure that you have, not necessarily put all of your eggs in one basket as far as some of these are concerned. And it might be a good night for a multiple lineup kind of hedge to be able to see how things kind of work out over here. But that does bring us to the end of what should be a pretty interesting slate, and see what the rest of the playoffs are going to look like for a bunch of these first round teams that are really hoping to extend the series and keep some of this DFS fun going as well, because the playoffs have been really good. But as always, if you want to talk to me about what your lineups are looking like, where that focus is for you, and whether you do think Embiid and the Sixers are going to be able to go ahead and extend this series, for example, hit me up on Instagram, hit me up on Twitter at @HAK_Devil. Talk to me about your approaches and just how you're liking the playoffs so far and how things are going for you. Kenny, where can the good people find you as always?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @OrangeDFS. always ready to talk about basketball. It could be this NBA playoff slate that coming up tomorrow, or we can even talk about this yearly slate since we do have Maccabi and Panathinaikos. Probably the best matchup in the EuroLeague going on tomorrow. And we also have Barcelona, Olympiacos, but I don't really care about that matchup too much. Then WNBA is coming soon, so if you want to talk WNBA, I'm more than happy to talk about that and how Caitlin Clark is not going to win the MVP. But, yeah, always down to talk basketball.
I love it. Well, clearly the overarching theme is that basketball just never ends, and there's always opportunities to be able to keep that up. So this is why you need to get yourself subscribed to Sports Ethos so you can keep that going year-long, year-round, even if it's not just the NBA. So make sure to subscribe to the DFS Pass if you haven't already to get access to all of our DFS pros. But until then, it'll be myself going solo on the next slate coming into the Wednesday that's there. But until then, let's take down some of these GPPs.